It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk to WPR's very own tech guy about what precautions you can take to avoid being hacked.
First, though, it's Great Lakes Week, and we're going to take a look at a new report out about chemicals found in Lake Michigan.
Scientists have known for years that there are pharmaceuticals and personal care products in the lake.
The prevailing wisdom used to be that the sheer volume of water in the Great Lakes diluted the chemicals and kept the environmental impact low.
The new study out by the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee questions that, having found chemicals at concentrations that do pose a risk, especially for organisms near the shore, like fish and algae.
Here to talk with us about the findings is one of the authors of the study, Rebecca Clapper. She's an associate professor at the School of Freshwater Sciences at UW-Milwaukee and the director of the Great Lakes Genomics Center. And Rebecca, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's start at the beginning. What chemicals were found in Lake Michigan?
Well, we monitored for about 60 different pharmaceuticals and personal care products, and we found varying levels of about 30 to 40 of them out in the lake. And these are either in the water or the sediment of the lake.
Now, I think you were scanning for things that were in personal care products and also for prescription medications. What did you find in highest concentrations?
Well, so one of the things that we found and that a lot of people find in these studies is that caffeine and its byproducts that our body breaks it down into are commonly found in sewage effluent and then also found in freshwater systems. So, you know, we all take our caffeine dose in our coffee or tea or soda during the day, and that's reflected in the sewage outfall, and ends up going out in the lake. But then we also find some other things that are either common or less common medications, things like Prozac and some of the antibiotics. We also find the anti-diabetic drugs. So, for instance, Metformin is a type 2 diabetes drug that's used, and we find that in high levels coming out of the sewage treatment plant and then going out into the lake.
So is the takeaway here that the chemicals are getting into the water from human waste, or are they just being disposed of wholesale directly into the water?
Yeah, that's a good question, and we get that question a lot. And it's thought by the scientific community that, you know, people are taking their medications as they're prescribed, and what happens in your body is that your body either it changes the chemical just a little bit to get rid of it, or it when you take it, you end up, you know, peeing or excreting a bunch of it out into the sewage. And so the thought is it's not necessarily people dumping stuff down the drain, but a lot of it comes from people just taking their medications. And then our sewage treatment plants aren't designed to take those things out, although they do a pretty good job of taking out, you know, some of the compounds. It's just that there's some of them that make it all the way through and end up out in our freshwater system.
Now, this has got to be a pretty common phenomenon because just about everybody in their lifetime engages in use of chemicals, whether it's antibacterial soap, whether they're taking an antibiotic once a year or something like that. And I guess the prevailing wisdom used to be that the Great Lakes are massive bodies of water, so this stuff is going to get diluted and we don't have to worry about it. But that's really not what we found with this, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of our surprising findings is that we were finding it, you know, a few miles out into the lake. And we were really anticipating, especially, you know, considering the prevailing water and wind patterns, that we really wouldn't find it very consistently out, you know, a few miles out from where the sewage outfall is. And so that was one of the surprises. And then there are a couple of the medications that we found in fairly high concentrations. And so that's kind of what's of concern. Not to mention the fact, as you were mentioning in your introduction, that, you know, there are fish populations that use the shoreline for breeding grounds. And we're definitely finding these chemicals within that range of where those fish populations are found.
Do we know how the chemicals are going to affect the ecosystems, the fish, the flora, all that stuff?
So there are some of these compounds where we have some data, and that's what we put in our paper. We were pretty conservative and looked for what we call the risk quotient for some of the pharmaceuticals and personal care products where there's data in the literature or where, for instance, the Environmental Protection Agency has published databases where they've put information about how these chemicals might affect aquatic organisms or humans, for that matter, out in the literature or on the web. And so we found that there were about 14 of the chemicals where we had significant information where we could look at this risk quotient. And what we found is that there were two of them that were at high risk given the concentrations that were out in the lake. But there are also a significant number of them where we just don't have enough information to actually say what that risk quotient might be for an individual chemical. And so it really points to the fact that we need to have some more information about some of these particular chemicals that we're finding out, especially at higher concentrations. And the other thing not covered in our research is the fact that some of these chemicals, when you mix them together, actually cause a bigger effect. And there's those kinds of mixture studies are kind of hard to do, and they require a lot of different trials of different combinations of chemicals. And so we have significantly even less information about what mixtures of these chemicals might do, even at these low concentrations.
Now, apparently this hasn't shown up in the drinking water in Milwaukee yet, but given what we know now, could it in the near future?
That's a good question. And the places that we were taking our measurements from really were in respect to the sewage treatment plant. And the water intake for Milwaukee in particular is up to the north of where we were sampling. And that's not to say that there isn't some contribution to the lake from, you know, cities that are north of that water treatment plant. But the water treatment plant in Milwaukee has been really forward-thinking and actually started doing some monitoring for these chemicals, you know, several years ago. And from the, you know, the few samples they've taken, they haven't really found a significant number of these things in the drinking water. But there are other communities around the United States that are taking their drinking water from places where they find, you know, even higher concentrations than what we found out in the lake. So it's definitely a concern across the United States as to, well, what happens to humans ingesting just even small quantities of these chemicals over time?
Now, you're talking about more testing being needed, but what do you have an idea what the solution is to get these chemicals clear of the water so that it can be used?
We have been working with Veolia International and the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District on a couple of projects looking at different treatment technologies for removal of some of these things. And so, for instance, one of the treatments that we tried, which involved an activated carbon solution that would go at the end of the sewage treatment plant, seemed to remove a good number of these chemicals. But there's a question as to, you know, none of the treatment technologies that are out there so far can remove everything. And so, really, we need some more health information to know which of these chemicals is the most important to remove, and then target our treatment technologies to remove those particular chemicals so that we are best protecting the environment and human health.
How surprising were these results to you? Because, you know, to me, given what we've seen about pollution in the ocean, I guess plastic might be a different animal, but we know that seems to kind of live forever. It just breaks down, but it's still plastic in the ocean. Was it surprising that these chemicals are still alive and kicking in Lake Michigan?
It was surprising that they go the distance that they do and that they're not broken down before that, I think. And the fact that some of them reside in the sediments for a good amount of time is of concern. And people are finding that in other studies as well out in river systems. There's a great study done in Minnesota where they found all sorts of different chemicals going back, you know, several decades that were residing in the sediment structure. It's surprising that we found a few of the chemicals out the distance that we did, and they're not broken down, you know, right away.
So how concerned are you about these findings? Is this a red flag for you, or is this, you know, an all-out warning?
I think it's a red flag and definitely points to the need for, and I know scientists always say we need more research. We need some very targeted research. We've got enough of these studies now where we know that, you know, it doesn't matter whether the water body is small or whether it's as large as one of the Great Lakes, that these chemicals are out there and they're of concern, and they might possibly be at a level that is of concern, even in these huge water bodies. And so we really do need to target which of these chemicals is the most significant as far as the potential environmental and health impact and target their removal. So we need more health information is I think the main story that and we need some information about what these small quantities of these chemicals do out in the environment when they're in a mixture.
Rebecca, is there anything that I can do in my personal life that, you know, if I live in Milwaukee, that's going to keep these chemicals out of the lake?
You know, there are certain chemicals that we find pretty consistently and others have found consistently in freshwater systems that aren't necessarily needed. So, for instance, the triclosan, triclocarban, products that, you know, if you pick up any kind of antibacterial hand soap, that stuff is in there. And the CDC did a study and looked to see how well those products actually kill bacteria on your skin. And they found that it really, you know, just washing your hands with good old soap and water without that antibacterial compound in there did just as good of a job as if that was in there in the concentrations that it's found in the soap. So, you know, using products that don't contain that antibacterial component, it can decrease the amount that we end up finding in sewage. So we don't want to advocate that people stop taking their medication, obviously, but, you know, I think that there are efforts on the way for what we call more green chemistry, taking into consideration what some of the environmental impacts of these chemicals might be before we actually put them out into the marketplace. And that's been a push by the Environmental Protection Agency, and it continues to be talked about, but we need to talk about it more.
Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for your interest in our research.
That was Rebecca Clapper. She's associate professor at the School of Freshwater Sciences at UW-Milwaukee and director of the Great Lakes Genomics Center.
Coming up, we'll talk to one of our WPR technology experts about how to avoid being hacked. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.